as I, by the grace of God, will preach in your hearing the message preached by Dr. Billy Graham, February 2nd, 1959, 1 year before I was born. This is part three of the message, The Sin of Tolerance. And by the way, we don't hear preaching like this anymore, unfortunately and sadly. In fact, if Billy Graham or anybody else preached this message today, he would be rebuked, criticized, even by some Christians. Because most Christians today believe in tolerating stuff. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Holy Father God, we see in this passage, Lord Jesus, that you were not tolerant about the way to heaven. And that there's only one way. And you made it very clear that the only one way, the only way to be saved is by trusting you as Savior. And there was only one way to heaven, and that was through you and is through you. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians in our present society, have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins, of tolerating sin in our own lives, in our own families, and in our churches, and in the greater society. And Lord, help us to repent of our sins. Help us to take heed of this message that this prophet and evangelist preached in 1959. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to humble ourselves, because we know that your servant was right all those years ago, and he's right today. And we pray that in the end, that not only will we repent, but that sinners will repent and trust you as Savior for your glory, your praise, and honor, because we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith in Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate what would have been Billy Graham's 100th birthday today, I want to share with you part three of one of his powerful messages titled The Sin of tolerance. Now we're told this is one of his radio sermons that he preached from a studio. But if you have seen some of the videos of him preaching, even in a studio, and with nobody there except the engineer, you will know that he was fired up and ready to go. It made no difference what the size of the crowd was. And that ought to be a note and a point to preachers today who claim to be called to preach. There's one sign, one good sign of a person who has truly been called by God to preach, like Billy Graham. And it's very simple. If he's truly born again and truly called to preach, guess what he's going to do? He's going to preach. See, when you're called by God to preach, you don't need an invitation. Amen, somebody. You will preach. You don't need a church. If you're called by God to preach, you're going to preach. And that's what Billy Graham did. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to share part three of his message titled "The Sin of Tolerance," from the great evangelist whom God made great, Dr. Billy Graham. He preached it on February the 2nd, 1959. First, Dr. Billy Graham wants us to notice that Jesus was intolerant towards selfishness. Jesus was intolerant toward selfishness. As we continue, he said, "If any man will come after me," quoting Jesus Christ, "let him deny himself." If any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself. Dr. Billy Graham said self-centeredness is the basic cause of much of our distress in life. Now, he said this in 1959, and it is so true today. Hypochondria, a mental disorder which is accompanied by melancholy and depression and sadness, is often caused by self-pity, selfishness, and self-centeredness. He was right then, and he's right now. I see it all of the time. People who are selfish, self-centered, always concerned about themselves, yet they claim to be Christians, are the most miserable people on earth. And they are the most miserable people to be around. They're always gloomy, always dark, always sad. Psychologists have come up with a name. Psychiatrists have come up with a name for it. Hypochondria. Always depressed. And now, all these years later, since Dr. Billy Graham preached this message, we have pastors, church, so-called church leaders, either committing suicide or having a pity party on Facebook threatening that they're going to commit suicide just to see how many people are going to beg them not to kill themselves and tell them lies of how wonderful they are and how much a blessing they are. It's pathetic. It's sad. Now this is an adapted message. Billy Graham didn't say everything I just said. I'm saying that in the framework of his powerful message. That he preached this in 1959. And this selfishness, this self-centeredness, this me generation, me and mine, now has rolled on, and now this is what we have. People in the church accepting that it's okay, it's just a quick way to go to heaven, committing suicide. When in our Bibles, in the New Testament, the only somebody who committed suicide was the betrayer of Jesus Christ, Judas. But now we are to accept this. And it's quite disgusting how we have so many folks in the church always concerned about themselves, not Jesus, not the cause of Christ. The church is fixed now in many cases to be concerned more about individuals in the church who are constantly having pity parties, who are sad, defeated, and depressed, and refuse to obey Jesus Christ, who said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And pastors, in many cases, love to have it so. Dr. Billy Graham said most of us suffer from spiritual nearsightedness. Our interests, our loves, and our energies are too often focused upon ourselves. Can somebody say amen? It's true. That's why we have so many Christians who are sick, only concerned about themselves, taking Ambien. I don't think they had Ambien back in 1959, but they have it today, and we have Christians, probably 25% or 30% of the church on Ambien, trying to get them a quick little high. Drug addicts in the church who condemn marijuana, who condemn opioids, other heavier drugs, meth. Who condemn heroin, but swinging around Walgreens, picking up their drug of choice just to get by, instead of talking to Jesus, having a little talk with Jesus. The hymn writer wrote, "Will make everything all right." Dr. Graham said Jesus was intolerant of selfishness. He underscored the fact that his disciples were to live outflowingly rather than selfishly. To the rich young ruler, he said, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." It wasn't the giving of his goods that Jesus demanded particularly, but his release from selfishness and its devastating effect on his personality and life. Boom. Dr. Billy Graham didn't say boom, that's me. It means that was a very powerful statement. God didn't have a problem with the man having riches. God had a problem with the man being selfish. Because the selfishness was hurting him. The self-centeredness was hurting him. He was intolerant of selfishness when he said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Many people in the church today are self-centered. It's all about what Jesus, not what did Jesus do, or what would Jesus do, is all about what Jesus will do for me today. And what have you done for me lately? What can I get out of going to church? Can I get a new job? A new house on Pork Chop Hill? And a Bentley like the pastor? Dr. Billy Graham said, "The life which Jesus urges us to lose is the life of selfishness that lives within us." Amen, somebody. And by the way, my beloved, this issue of selfishness is not anything new to us. Our mothers and our fathers, our grandparents, one of the first lessons they taught us was what? Stop being so selfish, because we came out the womb talking about mine. Mine. Your little sister plays with your ball. Mine. Mine. I saw something the other day that one dog had was messing with one of the toy bones of another dog, and that dog couldn't stand it. He said, "Mine, mine," and it was reaching for his bone. You get your own bone. This selfishness, we're so wicked, this selfishness has impacted the animal kingdom. Our pets are just as selfish as we are. The life which Jesus, Dr. Graham said, the life which Jesus urges us to lose is the selfishness life. The selfishness that we have in our lives that lives within us. The old nature of sin that is in conflict with God, only concerned about moi, me and mine. Our prayers are even selfishness. Our prayers are even selfish. We pray for only our children. May God help us. We pray for only our family members. We pray for only our church. And Dr. Graham said, "Peter, James, and John left their nets, but Jesus did not object to nets as such. It was the selfish living they symbolized that he wanted them to forsake." It's all about you, man. Those are your nets, not mine. I want to give you some new nets, which are much bigger and much more powerful. I want you to be fishers of men. Matthew left the custom seat, tax seat, a political job, to follow Christ. But Jesus did not, Dr. Graham said, but Jesus did not object to a political career. as such. It was the selfish quality of living which it represented that he wanted Matthew to forsake. So in your life and mine, self must be crucified and Christ enthroned. Jesus was intolerant of any other way, for he knew that selfishness and the Spirit of God cannot exist together. And then finally today, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said in this important message, Jesus was intolerant toward sin. Jesus was intolerant toward sin. Jesus Christ, Dr. Billy Graham said, was tolerant toward the sinner, but intolerant toward the evil which enslaved the sinner. To the adulteress, he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He forgave her because he loved her, but he condemned sin because he hated it with a holy hatred. God has always been intolerant of sin, always, always, always. The question today is, are you intolerant of sin, dear Christian friend? His word says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God has always hated sin. The question is, do you? If you are a born-again child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will hate sin, and you will hate your sins most of all. Dr. Billy Graham said Christ was so intolerant of sin that he died on the cross to free men from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Sin lies at the root of society's difficulties today. At the very root. Whatever separates man from God disunites man from man. Now take that and chew on that. That's from Dr. Billy Graham. In case you missed it. In case you missed it. Dr. Billy Graham said, whatever separates man from God disunites man from man, and that is so true. But many of us, we're not aware of this. And we don't think it's true, but it is. That's why we have so much hell and so much, watch this, division in our society today. Because we're not right with God. Many Christians are not, and we know lost people are not. That's the problem. God gave Dr. Billy Graham this insight in 1959. And most of us don't think like this. We think that we can fix the problems of division between us. We lie and make up reasons why we have the division. We sin while we are trying to solve the problem of division. But Dr. Billy Graham had his finger on it in 1959 when he preached this message. If we're not right with God, we're not going to be right with each other. Black, white, red, yellow, makes no difference. And Dr. Graham went on to say, the world problem will never be solved until the question of sin is settled. But the cross is God's answer to sin. To all who will receive the blessed news of salvation through Christ, it forever crosses out and cancels sin's power. Forest rangers know well the value of the burn back in fighting forest fires. To save an area from being burned, they simply burn away all of the trees and shrubs to a safe distance. And when the fire reaches that burned out spot, those standing there are safe from the flames. Fire is thus fought, if you will, by fire. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billy Graham said, Calvary was a colossal fighting of fire by fire, if you will. Christ taking on himself all of our sins allowed the fire of sin's judgment to fall upon him. The area around the cross has become a place of refuge for all who would escape the judgment of sin. Amen, somebody. Take your place with him at the cross. Yield your life to him at the cross. Yield your life to him who redeemed you on the cross, and the fire of sin's judgment can never touch you. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing, Dr. Billy Graham said in 1959, God is intolerant of sin. That intolerance sent his son to die for us. He has said that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. The clear implication is that those who refuse to believe in Christ shall be eternally lost in that awful place called hell. Come to him today while his spirit deals with your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. And so, in closing, beloved, if you're with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him. To save your soul from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell, which is eternal. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. We all have failed God. Billy Graham admitted that he had sinned. He failed God as well. We all have. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically, and the funeral home director comes, and we're buried in the ground. Our bodies go into the ground. Our soul will go to hell if we have not trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Hell is a place of outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of an agonizing, punishing memory. Hell is a place of eternal burning. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. The same news that Dr. Billy Graham preached all of his life almost. It's called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached it first when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, no matter what you have done, "that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever," that word whosoever means anybody at any time, "believeth in him," Jesus Christ, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." Perish where? In hell. Have everlasting life where? In heaven with God and with Jesus Christ. So if you were to believe on Christ today and trust him as your Savior, God will save you from hell and save you to heaven. That's good news. All of your sins have been paid for. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial Lamb of God who suffered, bled, and died and took away the sins of the world, according to John the Baptist. He was buried and rose again, and all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That is the gospel. That is the plan of salvation authored by God himself. So, dear friend, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came, suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask him to save your soul. You have God's word on it as a promise and a guarantee. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So follow me in prayer right now, right where you are. To all of our friends in Russia who are listening, all of our friends in Pakistan who are listening, all of our friends in China, all of our friends in India, in Nigeria, in Ghana, in South Africa, in Paris, in London, wherever you are. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. All of those things are good things, but they will not save you. Simple faith in Christ. Believe in him today, and he'll save your soul. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and I'll lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Just mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I've lied many times. I have stolen things before. I have coveted and lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain at times. I've disrespected and dishonored my parents at times, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my wretched soul. I understand that I don't deserve being saved. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell. Please have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul from hell. And Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins and for mine, for all of us, that he is the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world so that you don't have to suffer in hell for your sins. He was buried and rose again. And you prayed that prayer with me. You meant it from your heart. Allow me to say, beloved, welcome to the beloved. Welcome to the family of God. And congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our many other emails on wherever you are. And we do thank God for each and every one of you from around the world. And that is dw3@gospellightsociety.com. And let us know. Let us know that you got saved. And we have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, if you will, for Dr. Billy Graham and the message he preached in 1959, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good.